Bingo. All right, we're recording now. So this is Judith Swack, and I'm the originator of Healing from the Body Level Up methodology, and I would like to welcome you all to our teleconference on curses and elementals, basically, how to clear curses in seconds. So let me start by telling you what a curse is. First of all, the word curse has two meanings, because remember, the way that we get information from the client's deepest wisdom is through muscle testing. And when we muscle test and we ask the client's deepest wisdom to lead the healing, we're accessing their unconscious mind, as well as their body, as well as their soul, as well as their conscious mind. So when you use the word curse, it can have two meanings. A felt curse, like I feel that I have a curse, can be an emotional feeling of frustration due to inexplicable lack of results. In other words, the client has tried everything reasonable to get results in a certain area of his life that would work for anybody else. And for some mysterious reason that nobody can figure out, that makes no sense at all, he's just not getting results in his life in that area. And so he may feel cursed. And that codes in the unconscious mind as a feeling of cursed or jinxed. And they may not be actually carrying a supernatural curse. They just may be feeling cursed, in which case, if it's a felt curse, we need to find the real pattern that's causing that feeling and blocking their results. Often it's a trauma or something like that. So if it's a felt curse, we treat the actual pattern that's causing the feeling. Okay, that's how the unconscious mind thinks. But a supernatural curse is an evil spell that causes bad luck, really causes bad luck. And supernatural curses interfere with the ability of the client to manifest results through good intentions and adequate behavioral capabilities and strategies, but it also causes catastrophic problems. So in other words, a perfectly well-equipped person tries to get results in her life by doing a range of behaviors, but they keep having bad luck. It's suspicious. So for example, I was on vacation in Hawaii, and I was standing there watching them feed the fish. It's a big thing, feed the goldfish, the koi, at this hotel. And I was standing there, and there was a woman next to me who was there on vacation with her sons. And we were talking about the fish. So I told her I had a daughter, and she had a son my daughter's age. You know, vacation talk. So I thought. And then she says, well, I'm really glad that my son was able to come on vacation with us because he just finished treatment for lymphoma, which is a kind of cancer. So here, you know, it's a 13-year-old boy with lymphoma. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, because remember, I'm on vacation, so I'm going to make light chit-chat. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, I said. She said, Yes, he was diagnosed with lymphoma about 4 months after my husband died in a plane crash. So I said, oh, and I began to suspect she had a curse. I said, your husband died in a plane crash? Yes. I said, well, was it a, you know, was he flying it himself? You know, figure one of these inexperienced pilot air. No, he was, I think he was flying with a group of people. It might have been a small plane. I don't think it was a commercial airline, but it was something suspicious that I couldn't account for rationally why he could have had that accident. You know, it was just bizarre. And then, of course, she said, yes, and this was right after we went bankrupt or something. And so now I have three disasters in the space of, you know, a year and a half, all stacked up on each other. And I said to her, listen, I'm on vacation, but I'm willing to give you 10 minutes of my time, and I revealed myself as a mind-body healer. And she said, oh, I'm into that. I'm totally into that. And I said, oh, do you know how to muscle test? Yes, I know how to muscle test. Who knew? So I said, okay, fine. So we went behind a pillar in the, in the foyer, and I muscle tested. And I asked her deepest wisdom if she carried a curse. And she did. And it was a curse on her and her family, I believe. So we summoned them in spirit. We did this technique to clear the curse. And she felt hugely better afterwards. I mean, her color changed. She stood up straighter. She started to glow. She felt hugely better and thanked me profusely. And I said, well, you know, it's fine. It was only 10 minutes of my time. I can still go back to vacation, you know. And here's the technique. She wrote it down. I said, use it in good health. And we were done. So that's the kind of thing. I get people who come in with certain histories, histories of bizarre bad luck. It's not just that things don't work for them, but they have very strange bad luck. So, so how did I first find a curse? Yes. I had a client who worked in a New Age rock shop, you know, and she said to me, what do you do with the negative energy of a client when you work on something really frightening or awful and they leave and the room still feels polluted? And I said, I close the door and leave it for 24 hours, and then I go back in. And she said, well, you can cleanse the space. You can cleanse the space with Indian sage, with sage. And I said, what's that? She said, well, you light this sage wand, and it smokes, and you send the smoke into the four corners of the room to discharge evil spirits, and then you smudge yourself and the person that you're with to release the negativity feeling, and it cleanses the space, and that's how you clear curses and negativity pollution. And she told me it was a tradition with the American Indians and in other cultures of the world. I said, all right, that's very nice. And I smiled politely and held my breath because, you know, I'm a scientist and I wasn't really interested in that kind of thing. So she comes back a week later and asks me if I'd bought myself some smudge material and if I'd tried it. And I said, no, I haven't gotten around to it yet, which was my way of blowing her off. So the following week, she comes in with the smudge materials. Here, I brought you some from the rock shop. I said, oh, thank you very much, smiled politely, and put it on a shelf, okay? Then a week later, I had a man come in who claimed that he had been abused by his previous therapist, and he brought in a tape recording of his therapist supposedly screaming insults at him, and it was very frightening, and in fact, it was so frightening to me that I asked my husband, because at that time my office was in my home, I asked my husband to come in and sit in the session as a witness because I didn't want to be accused of abusing him. I didn't know if he was crazy or what, but it was a very frightening, very sickening experience. So he was sitting there, I was sitting there, my husband was sitting there. We're all feeling sickened by what he claimed happened. It was very sickening. And it occurred to me, what am I going to do with this sickening feeling? Because the room is feeling sickening. So I happened to have the sage wand, and I thought, well, what the heck? I have nothing to lose here. I'll try it. So basically I smudged myself, my husband, the client. You know, we all smudged each other. We smudged the room. And lo and behold, to our astonishment, the air cleared of negativity. We all felt hugely better and very clean. And I thought, well, what do you know? What do you know? My client was right, and I'm very grateful that she gave me this gift, and I'm going to use it. So I keep to this day a wand of sage in my office, should we need to use it for smudging somebody for something. And then I had a woman come in who had gone to law school and taken the bar exam twice and failed each time by 1 point. Now, if she had just failed it once by 1 point, I would have thought, too bad. You know, study harder. Good luck the next time. But twice in a row, she failed by exactly 1 point, which made me suspicious. It's like, this is weird. This is weird. So I said to her, I wonder if you have a curse. Now, interestingly enough, this woman was Italian. And the Italians have the evil eye and curses and so on and so forth in their culture. They consciously believe in such things. It's not just an unconscious concept. And she said, well, I don't know. Let's muscle test it. So I muscle tested her. Her deepest wisdom said, yes, indeed, she had a curse. So she says, I knew it. My mother told us we had a curse on our family. My mother told us this. I'm like, okay. Now, as we were sitting there, I watched her, and she said, my mother said that the way to get rid of the curse is to pull an umbrella of white light down around yourself. And she reaches up above herself. She puts her fingertips together, and she makes this sweeping arm gesture like she's putting a bubble of white light around herself. And she bends down and, you know, makes a complete bubble. And as I'm watching her, and you all know that I'm psychic, as I'm watching her, I see in her aura, I see a dark circle detach from her shoulder and float away. And I'm thinking to myself, did I just see a curse leave her body? Did she just clear herself of a curse while I was watching? So I said, I'd like to test and see if you just cleared yourself of this curse. So we muscle tested. Her deepest wisdom said, yes, she had in fact just cleared herself of the curse. And I told her how I'd seen this dark circle of energy, you know, float off of her shoulder. And she said, well, I wasn't going to tell you this, but because you're a scientist, I thought you'd laugh at me. But I want you to know that I see an entity behind you and to your right. And it's got a gold orb, and it's surrounded by kind of a square of turquoise. And I said, oh, well, that's probably my right side angel. Many people have told me that they see an angel standing behind me to my right, and so it's probably my right side angel. So muscle test me and ask my deepest wisdom if my angel helped lift the curse off of you. And it muscle tested, yes, my angel helped lift the curse off her. So we called this intervention white light with the angel, right? White light with the angel. So I put that in the back of my mind, oh, so you can use white light and ask your angel to pull the curse off you. You seal yourself in white light to protect yourself from evil, and your angel will clear the negativity off of you. So 2 weeks later, I had a client come in, and now I put the word curse on my list of patterns that people could have that interfere with them. I put it on my list because I kept seeing it. And 2 weeks later, a client came in who muscle tested positive for a curse. And it was a supernatural curse, not a felt curse. So I asked their deepest wisdom if the best technique for clearing the curse was smudging, because I already had smudging on my menu of techniques. And they muscle tested, no, that's not the best technique. And so I asked, from your deepest wisdom, is the best technique for clearing this curse on my menu of techniques? No. Is it in my repertoire? I said, yes. So I said, is it what I'm thinking? And I was thinking white light with the angel. And the answer was yes. So his deepest wisdom called for this technique that was in the back of my mind that I hadn't put on my menu yet officially. Okay? And it was called forth for me. So I said, so I pretended I knew what I was talking about, and I said, well, Okay, this technique is called the white light with the angel. Now, at this point, I'm thinking, everybody has a guardian angel. Somebody gave me a book that said so. Everybody has a guardian angel and one angel and one guide per lifetime. And I had met my own angel and guide earlier, which is why somebody gave me a book afterwards to explain it to me. So I said, well, you have a guardian angel, so here's how you do it. You pull an umbrella of white light down around yourself, you seal yourself in a sphere of white light, and you ask your angel to lift the curse energy off of you. And that's how you do it. And so the client did it, and it worked, and they were cleared of the curse, and it was perfectly fine. Now, 2 months later, the original Italian woman reported to me that she had passed her next bar exam. She passed it. So I'm thinking, oh, well, that's great. That's great. Then I had a client come in who was Iranian. And somebody had told me, another Iranian person had told me that in Iran they use sage or something like that to smudge off evil energies and curses and what. So smudging is a phenomenon that is part of the Iranian culture. So this man comes in. He had a broken leg. He had a broken leg. And what was wrong with him? It wouldn't heal. 6 months, the bone would not heal. Now, do you know that bones heal in 6 weeks? He had fallen off his bicycle and broken his femur, and it wouldn't heal. He limped in pain, grimacing. So I muscle tested him and asked if the highest priority goal was to heal the broken leg. Yes, it was. And from his deepest wisdom, it turns out he had a curse on him. Now, when I read his biography, he had gone bankrupt. His family had lost their home. He had been basically thrown out of his country. And it was just one disaster after another in his biography. So, anyway, it turns out he had a curse that was interfering with his ability to heal his broken leg. So I said to him, all right, would you like to, from your deepest wisdom, the best technique to use, would it be smudging? And the answer was yes. Now, the man starts yelling at me. You're not going to smudge me, he says. I don't believe in such things. I'm a Western-trained man. I've gone to college in the United States, and I don't believe in that superstitious crap from my culture. So I said to him, well, I have two choices. I could pander to your conscious belief system and treat you in some other way that I know won't work, or I can just insist that we do what I know works, and or you can leave. You can leave with a broken leg. Let me see. What do I want to do here? Well, no, I'm not going to pander to your version of reality that isn't going to work. I refuse to do anything that I know isn't going to work, so forget that. That's not an option. So you either stand up here and let me smudge you, or you leave with a broken leg. Your choice. And I said, and furthermore, it's going to take less time for me to smudge you than it is for us to discuss this. So he said, all right, smudge me. So I smudge him. Takes all of 3 minutes. And he clears. He feels hugely better. It's amazing how that works every time. I'm still amazed by it. I don't understand it, but it works every time. He felt hugely better. And he said, wow, that's amazing. So thank you very much. And then I said, now we need to clear the physical injury trauma to your leg caused by the bicycle fall so that the bone will heal up nice and quick. Oh, do we have to? I'm feeling so good right now. I don't even feel like, you know, doing more work. I'm like, yes, you have to. So we cleared the physical injury trauma to his leg from the bicycle accident, and he walked around with no pain and no limp and absolutely straight. So in an hour and a half, he went from broken and in pain to knit and straight. So as we were as he was leaving, you know, all better, as he was leaving, I said to him kindly, now listen, what we do in here is confidential. I'm not going to tell anybody that we lifted a curse off of you. Nobody's going to find out if you don't tell them. You don't have to say anything. You can just I was thinking to myself, he can preserve his ego, he can preserve his dignity, you know, he can preserve his belief structure if he wants to. I was trying to be, you know, nice about it. And he turns to me and says, no, I'm going to go home and tell my wife and mother-in-law that I had a curse and you smudged me. And I said, why would you do that? And he said, because my mother-in-law, and I remember they're from Iran, my mother-in-law said we had a curse on this family, and she has been smudging everybody in the house, and I'm the only one who wouldn't let her smudge me, and I was the one with the curse. And I am going to go home and apologize to her, and I am going to tell her that she can smudge me anytime she wants. And I have to say that just took my breath away. I mean, my respect for him as a man and human being just, you know, just went up 100-fold. And I said, you know, with total respect, I said, you do that. And he went off and did that. So it's very interesting. Then let's talk about the generational stuff. I had a technician. When I was a scientist working in the lab, I had a technician who was from Africa. And he came in one day and he said to me, I'm going to be 30 years old tomorrow. And I said, oh, happy birthday. And he said, no, it's a bad thing. I said, why? He said, because there's a curse on all the men in my family. And when they turn 30, they die of mysterious causes. Now, I, of course, was thinking some kind of genetic disease that was passed down through the family, that coming from Africa, they didn't understand it was genetic. So I figured they all died of the same thing. It was genetic, but they didn't understand it. So I said, well, what did they die of? Well, he went through the list of people that he knew, relatives who had died in their 30s, and each one died differently and in very bizarre ways. You know, one drowned in 2 feet of water. You know, one got in a bizarre car accident. You know, one died of some strange, impossible disease and that doesn't kill anybody but killed him. You know, so after he gave me a few examples, I said, well, maybe you do have a curse on your family. I said, who do you think cursed you? A witch doctor? Now, I thought I was being funny, but here's the way my psychic ability works. Stuff comes out of my mouth that my conscious mind doesn't really think about, and my conscious mind thinks I'm making a joke, but it's actually my psychic mouth talking, and it's actually correct. So I went, well, so what is it, a witch doctor? And he said, well, yes. At which point I looked at him and said, well, who in your family is a witch doctor? Well, it turns out that it was his grandfather's sister was a witch doctor. I said to him, how do you know she's a witch doctor? Because she studied with the local witch doctor. She went to official witch doctor school and became, you know, a licensed witch doctor. Okay? So I'm like, okay, she's a witch doctor. Then I said, how do you know she cursed your grandfather? He said, because they had a huge fight, and then they refused to speak to each other for 30 years. They died never speaking to each other again, even though they just lived across the river from each other. All right, at which point I had to surrender to the fact that his male line had been cursed by a witch doctor, and that his having a 30th birthday was a bad thing for him. And I asked him to, if he could see his future. Can you see your future when you look into the future in your mind? Can you see your future? No, he says, I have no future after this. All right. I said, I'll tell you what. Tomorrow, when I come to work, I'm going to bring you my sage wand. I'm going to let you borrow it. You take it home, and you smudge yourself, and it turns out he was living with his cousin, and your cousin, and anybody else you can get your hands on from your family, and bring me back the rest of it. You know, give it back to me. I'm not going to smudge you myself because, A, we're here in a science lab. I'm not going to bring that work into this building. I'm not going to smudge you in the parking lot because I don't want anybody to think we're smoking dope in the parking lot and arrest us. I'm just going to give you the sage wand. You go home and you do this. So he went home and he smudged himself and his cousin and his brother and what. And he comes back the next day. He gives me the half the stick. I said, how do you feel? He says, I feel fabulous. I feel great. I said, when you look to the future, what do you see? I'm going to be 80-something. I'm going to live till I'm 80-something, he says to me. How did your cousin and brother? They feel hugely better also. And I muscle tested him. He had actually cleared the curse with the smudge stick. Then he told me that he had been an altar boy in the Catholic Church. Obviously, there were missionaries in Africa. And he said that they used the same kind of material to smudge the church. And particularly if there's a funeral or something, they would cleanse the space. I said, so, you know, he was familiar with it. So goodness me, there are a whole lot of cultures that are familiar with smudging and familiar with curses and supernatural entities and whatnot. So I realized that, you know what, it's part of healing from the body level up. I'll do whatever works. If it's a pattern and I find it and we can clear it reproducibly, it goes on my menu, and I don't care, and I dropped the attitude. I just dropped the attitude. I just went, well, it's useful and it works. So I'm good with that. I'm down with it, you know. It's cool. Then I had a colleague. This was very interesting. We were doing curses in HBLU Level 2 class. And I taught them smudging. I brought smudge sticks for everybody. Ooh, smudge sticks for everybody. And so we did an exercise where we were clearing curses. And I felt a huge wave of goosebump energy coming at me from the corner of the room. And I look over, and one of my colleagues, who's Christian with a capital C, was saying some kind of prayer very intensely. And the energy that was radiating out of her, you know, as she said that prayer with, you know, great intensity, really blanketed the room. So I went over and asked her what she was doing. And she said, oh, I'm using a Christian technique for clearing curses. Oh, a Christian technique. Yes, she says, I'm calling upon Jesus. Now, number one, being a scientist, prayer really wasn't in my field of possibilities as healing techniques, sorry to say. I mean, everybody knows that prayer is healing, but I just wasn't thinking that way. Secondly, being Jewish and all, really, really wasn't that familiar with the concept of Jesus per se. In fact, as you know, most Jews are, reactive, I guess is the right word, reactive to the word Jesus, just because Christians in the name of Jesus have spent, I don't know, hundreds of years killing Jews, and so there's a certain amount of friction for Jewish people around the word Jesus. But knowing me, I was curious to see if it worked, and the amount of energy that came out of it was fantastic, so I just walked over and asked her to show it to me, and basically I repeated it, and it worked 100% of the time. So suddenly I had three techniques for clearing curses. I had smudging. I had white light with the angel. I had the Jesus Christ intervention, is what I named it, or the JC intervention for short. And they worked in minutes. You know, the smudging takes about 3 minutes. Everything else takes 10 seconds. Oh, that's very cool. I put that on my menu. Well, people call for that. So basically, it's very simple to clear curses. The trick is you have to recognize you have one. So here was this Iranian man who had one, refused to admit consciously that he had one, and it was hurting him and his family. So clearing curses isn't hard. Recognizing that you have one is the key. You understand? And considering that it takes only 10 seconds to apply one of these techniques, even if you suspect you have a curse but don't have one, what the heck? Use the technique. Does this make sense?
Yep.
All right. So one by one, we are now going to demonstrate how to clear curses. And an elemental, I'm going to throw that in, an elemental is a compact negative energy made from various emotions. Now, typically a curse. Let's talk about how an ordinary mortal can tell it, can set a curse. Now, I know that trained voodoo practitioners, trained witch doctors, trained American Indian shamans. Okay, I know they're trained to set curses. It's a professional technique. People pay them to set curses on other people, you know? So, okay, but they're not, you know, there's not a lot of those people in our current world or population. You know, how many Indian shamans do you know who live next door or even in your neighborhood or who are easily accessible by phone? You know what I'm saying? So how come if there are so few voodoo and shamanic practitioners in this world, how come so many people carry curses? Well, it's because ordinary mortals can set curses. And they can set curses consciously, or, God help us, they can set them unconsciously. So how does an ordinary mortal set a curse? Well, it turns out that they have to have enough compacted, stored rage to form a critical mass, like an atomic bomb, which can be used to bomb someone. So of all the people who I know who have set curses, I have tested them to see, you know, how they were able to do that. What kind of pattern were they carrying that enabled them to do that? And they were carrying, on average, 11 to 16 years worth of compacted, stored rage. And, for example, I had a woman, petite woman, I don't know, 5 feet approximately, I don't know, about 120 pounds, and she lived with her husband, who was very abusive, for about 16 years, and then they got divorced, and of course he jerked her around and caused her a lot of rage and pain. And one day he called her and started in on her about yet another piece of nonsense, and she lost it and screamed at him and put the handset of the phone through the wall. She put the handset through the plaster of the wall. The phone went through the wall. Now, how angry do you have to be 120 pounds and 5 feet tall? How angry do you have to put the phone through the wall? Can you imagine this? Well, that happened to be the moment she cursed him. She could remember that consciously. It was pretty vivid, huh? But there are people who have repressed their rage and gone unconscious about it. And they've just tolerated misery and abuse for years. And, for example, the Enneagram 9s who pretend that they're not angry, lie to themselves about it, and then store it in their bodies, tend to, when somebody pisses them off, curse them unconsciously. I call this the unconscious auto-curse patterns. The Enneagram 7s, who don't want to be limited and they want to have all their options open, will curse people when they try to keep them focused. And they'll do that unconsciously. I had a man who, an Enneagram 7, who was working as a consultant, of course, because he didn't want to be pinned down. And he was doing a computer job for some company, and they asked him for a delivery date on the product. And he set the delivery date and cursed them for asking him. He cursed the entire company. Okay. So today we're going to find out if you're carrying a curse, if it's a supernatural curse, where you picked it up from. We're going to find out if you set any curses, Because if you set a curse, it boomerangs back to you and sticks to you. When you lift the curse, it lifts off the other person you set it on. But I had a very upsetting experience about 2 months ago. I had always assumed that if somebody set a curse on you and your spouse or your children or your family, I had always assumed that if we called them in spirit and did the healing, that the curse would lift from everybody, not just my client who's there in my office and I can muscle test them. But 2 months ago, I had a couple who are engaged, and when the husband told, or when the fiancé basically told his secretary that he and his girlfriend had gotten engaged, she started screaming at both of them. I mean, they were at dinner or lunch or something. She started screaming at both of them, telling them it was a bad idea. And it turns out that she cursed both of them. Well, at 1:30 in the afternoon, I worked with the woman who said, I think she cursed us. And we tested her, and sure enough, she was carrying a curse from this woman, and we lifted the curse off of her. And she said, make sure you check my fiancé. Well, he called in at 3 o'clock for his session. They weren't in the same session. They were back-to-back because it was a phone, and they were in different areas of the country. So I muscle-tested him. From your deepest wisdom, are you carrying any curse energy? Yes. From your deepest wisdom, who's it from? Was it in the last week? Yes. And I said, who's it from? He said, I think it's from my secretary. I said, all right, let's test that. Is that right? Yes. Then I muscle test. From your deepest wisdom, did she curse anybody else in addition to you? Yes. Well, who was it? He said, I think she also cursed my girlfriend. And the answer was yes. And I said, so from your deepest wisdom, you're still carrying the curse energy right now? Yes. Then I told him that I had just cleared the curse off of his girlfriend, and I had thought that, you know, we'd called him in spirit. I thought we'd cleared it off of him too, but based on results, now we find out we had not. So I can tell you that I was upset about that. 2 weeks later, I had another couple come in, and the woman was describing her history. I was seeing the woman first, and she was describing her history, and what she said was things, we were leading a charmed life, and everything was going well until my husband lost his job, and then everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and I don't know what happened. And she described how he applied for two other jobs, and they fell through at the last moment, even though everybody was enthusiastic, and how she had been at the top of her career, but when he finally got a job, he got a job in a small place, and she had to give up her career, and the whole thing was a disaster, and then they were fighting, and all of a sudden she's having nightmares, and she's depressed, and now she's feeling suicidal, and so on and so forth. And but the statement that she said everything was going well until then, and then everything that could go wrong did go wrong, that's the sign of a curse. That's a bad luck pattern. I tested her. She had a curse. It turns out that her husband's boss had cursed her and him, had cursed the couple. So we cleared her of the curse, and then I said, I know we were waiting for your husband to come in after I'd worked with you a little bit, but you know what? I can't have him carrying a curse, and I can't trust that what we did here in the office also cleared him for sure, because I've had now one example where that's not true. So get him in here. So she brought him in, and we tested him. And it turns out that after I had treated her, he still carried the curse. But I had given her the prayer, and I said, you know what, go home and say, and have him say the prayer, you know, just in case, and then have him come in and have me triple check. So it turns out that she went home, did the prayer with him, he did clear. So when he came in for me to test him, he no longer had curse energy on him. He had cleared when she went home and did the prayer with him. So this is why, you know, based on results, I have to change my hypothesis, right? And so I know for a fact that we can clear a curse off of you personally, but if a curse was set on you or other people in the family is part of a group, we can't guarantee in reality that we cleared the curse off of them. So we'll clear it off of you. We'll call them in spirit. We'll hope that it makes a difference for them. But nonetheless, just to make sure, we're going to give you the techniques to use, and anybody else who you know, if you care about them, if they're included in this curse, you call them up and you do an intervention with them. And I don't care how you explain it to them. You know, I don't care how you explain it. Just treat them, okay? What the heck? 10 seconds and they can humor you, huh?
Yes.
And then, yeah, and then I know that'll work. So that's what I can tell you about curses. And the other thing I have to tell you is that my father-in-law, he's very cool. He's an MD, and he's from South Africa. And as an MD, of course, he doesn't believe in anything alternative or complementary, and he certainly doesn't believe in anything remotely woo-woo. However, he reported to me that while he was in South Africa, he had several people come into his emergency room and die with absolutely nothing physically wrong with them, and they died of curses. And he believed it because he saw it. But in his mind, I suppose he thinks that they died of curses because they believed in it, and it was the belief that killed them. Because he knows that belief has power. So I didn't get into a discussion with him about it. But I'm here to tell you that I've seen people in this culture, in the American culture, that doesn't consciously believe in curses. It's not like the Italians or the Iranians or the Africans. It's not like that. In this culture, we're taught not to believe in anything that you can't see, really. I mean, not even God, you know, the invisible God. Don't even believe in that. So don't believe in anything you can't see. And so in this culture, people are still thwarted by curses. But it's worse because they don't consciously consider that as a possibility. So they're more at risk for being harmed because they don't consciously think about it. So, you know, I had another client come in who argued with me about, who had a curse. The woman had bizarre illnesses, and every time she went to a medical practitioner who should have been able to heal her, the treatment made her worse. I mean, it was just bizarre, right? Very weird. And turns out she had a curse on her. So she said to me, well, I don't believe in curses. I said, you know something? Conscious disbelief is no protection. Think about that. Conscious disbelief is no protection. In fact, conscious disbelief puts you at risk. So this is why I say, you know what? If you suspect you have a curse, do a 10-second intervention. What the heck? Who cares? Is it real? Is it not real? You know what I'm saying? Just clean it up. Who cares where it comes from? If you're feeling polluted, if you're feeling cursed, if you suspect, if something happens that's weird, that's bad luck, treat yourself. Who cares? 10 seconds. You don't even have to tell anybody. So, interesting, huh? All right, any questions on the lecture part? All right, then.
Hi, Judith. This is Mother here.
Yes.
So what part does astrology play in curses? If you clear, the reason I'm asking you is when my father passed away soon after this lady cursed him, astrologically it was a very bad time for him. So if you clear a curse, it clears the astrology, too?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't studied astrology.
Okay.
Here's what I can tell you in general.
Mm-hmm.
I had a client who was stuck in her life,
mm-hmm.
and she lived in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And every year she would go to a psychic, a well-known psychic in Rome, to read her future.
Okay.
And every year, the psychic would tell her the same thing. Nothing had changed at all about her future.
Mm-hmm.
Then the client came here and started working with me. And she worked with me for, I don't know, 6 months, a year, something like that. And she went back to Rome on for her yearly psychic check-in.
Mm-hmm.
And the psychic said, "Oh, my God, what did you do? Everything is different about your future now. What did you do?"
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Well, I did healing from the body level up." Now, I can't say that lifting one curse was what changed her future, but we worked for, you know, a few months, really, and cleared a whole lot of different patterns.
Right.
So I know that if you do HBLU, you can change your future.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak to, you know, any other details of that. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yes. I have
a
question.
Yes.
If you are smudging for other reasons, will it lift the curse too, or will it? Do you have to focus on the curse when you do the intervention?
That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question, and the answer is you have to focus on where the curse energy is located physically in your body.
Okay.
All right. And then you smudge that particular area in particular.
Okay.
And I've seen this where I asked somebody, how many curses are you carrying? It was three. I asked, from your deepest wisdom, where are they physically located? And they would say, in my stomach and in my toenail, for example. And
uh-huh.
we would say, is that right? Yes. And from your deepest wisdom, is the curse energy located anyplace else in addition? No. So we would smudge, or we would use the JC intervention and just focus our attention on the stomach and the toenail. And then
mm-hmm.
I'd say, from your deepest wisdom, does this being have any remaining curse energy on you? And the answer would be yes. And I'd say, oh, really? Well, is there any curse energy left in the stomach? No. Any curse energy left in the toenail? No. Well, where is it? It's in the throat.
Ah.
Okay. Well, we hadn't found it before.
Yeah.
All right. So from your deepest wisdom,
okay.
the best technique to clear the curse from the throat. All right.
Uh-huh.
So we point at the throat, and it was all cleared. So, no, you do have to focus exactly on the location. You have to find these things.
Okay.
Yes. Very good question. Excellent question. Okay. All right. So I'd like everybody to muscle test yourselves. And just to review muscle testing, if you're going to self-muscle test, if you know how to finger test with your fingers, go ahead and do that. I like the most accurate self-muscle testing that I've seen is the standing tilt. And for that muscle test, you stand up and you face north, and you be 3 to 5 feet away from a computer screen or a television screen so that the electronics don't interfere with you. You also take all the electronics off of your body, no electronic watches or pagers or cell phones or what, no magnets, nothing that's going to distort your natural energy field. And you stand up and you relax your whole body, particularly around the ankles. And then your conscious mind is going to ask your body to register yes and no answers to the questions. It's like lie detector testing. So your conscious mind's job is to send questions down into the body and allow the body to register naturally the answer to the question by swaying in a particular direction for yes and in a particular direction for no. So I want everybody to stand up, face north. Relax your body, particularly around the ankles. And ask your bodies to show us a yes answer. Body, show us a yes. And notice which way you tilt. And body, show us a no. Okay. And notice which way you tilt. All right, so everybody got a clear yes and no? All right, so everybody, muscle test and ask your deepest wisdom. From your deepest wisdom, are you carrying any curse energy right now? And we command the truth in the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, who got a yes?
Mariola.
All right, Mariola's yes. And Dove is yes. And who else? Anybody else?
Joanne, yes.
All right, Joanne has a yes.
Yeah, Madhu here, yes.
All right.
Judith, did you hear that Debbie got a curse too? I was on.
All right, no. Debbie, yes.
Yes.
All right,
yeah.
Ellen.
Well, I'm trying to figure out where north is.
Oh, okay.
I'm having a little trouble with it, but I'm writing down the instructions so that I will be able to do this on my own.
All right. And all right, then. I'm going to take a read on the four people who said yes and see who's the best demo subject to start with, because obviously if it takes only 10 seconds, it's not going to take very long to clear curses. Now, let's see. Joanne, you are the best demo subject to start with. All right? So, Joanne, what made you suspect that you had a curse? Talk about the symptoms, the strange, suspicious symptoms that made you suspect.
I have physical symptoms that don't go away with, normal interview. I've been going to doctors and doctors for 4 years, and nobody can figure out how to treat me, what to do. If they do something, it makes it worse.
See?
Nothing ever gets better.
Okay. Any other history of bad luck before 4 years ago when you got sick?
Way back. I mean, I got a divorce. There was a woman involved with my husband. It was kind of weird the way that everything happened, because it would be like I would be thinking about something, and then they would bring me into court over what I would be thinking about. It was bizarre. It was like, were they in the room listening to me? But then, I kind of got over that and went on with my life. But about 4 years ago, all these physical symptoms started to happen. I was engaged. I had gone to school. I was going to start a new career. I got really sick. My fiancé and I were going to get married. We did buy a house together, but then he lost his job right after we got the house. Then I got sicker and sicker. I couldn't get better. He started to blame me. Eventually, it just went from bad to worse. And then, he left. The house went into foreclosure. He had known my kids for 10 years, never said goodbye to them. And we just broke up after 10 years and never talked again. I haven't recovered. And then I got shingles, I got a frozen shoulder, I got a torn rotator cuff, nothing of which the doctors say that they can fix for me.
Mm-hmm.
But other people get fixed, and I just don't understand why I can't get fixed.
There you go.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
I mean, it
yes,
is bizarre, and it's like, maybe I am cursed. I don't know.
Well, I'm gonna check which definition, and
okay.
When you got it. But wow, yeah, suspect a curse. Uh huh. And so.
And I've always been a very energetic person, and I can get through anything. And my dad always said, in the face of adversity, I can always get through it. But I just can't get through this. I don't know why.
Well, because you didn't use the right technique for the right thing, huh?
Yeah.
See what I mean? Consciously. Consciously you might have suspected you had a curse, right? Did you suspect consciously you had a curse? Like, did it cross your mind that, oh, my God, I wonder if I have a curse?
Actually, I walked around going, I must be cursed, because this stuff is so bizarre it doesn't even make any sense to me or anybody else.
There you go. All right. Just didn't have the right technique, though.
Like, it doesn't make any sense why you can't get fixed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, all right, so how long ago did you get divorced?
About 12 years ago.
All right, I'm just looking at the timeline here.
But I came out okay,
Well, that's what I just want to see what the curse is responsible for.
Okay.
Just, you know, for curiosity, for teaching purposes, you know. So I just want to see. But before that, before the 12 years, you had, you know, pretty normal luck like anybody else.
Yeah, and, you know, you were talking. It brought up a lot of things with me. But, you know, the day I met my husband, I knew I was going to marry him. I was a flight attendant. He walked off the plane, and I said, "I'm going to marry him," as he was walking onto the tarmac. And I shook myself, and I said, "Why did I say that?" And it was very weird because a year later I married him. We were very happy.
See, that would have been a good thing. So you were happy until when?
Until this other woman came into our life.
And that was,
All right. So I had just had a baby. I just had a nine-month-old. My son was 9 months old when we got a divorce. When this happened, he was 18 months when we got a divorce. And we had a very fast track on a divorce. It was 9 months, start to finish. And he was bizarre throughout the whole thing. He never swore. He didn't do, you know. And plus, you know what? He's a Jewish male, and Jewish men do not leave their children. He has never seen his children.
That is so bizarre.
Yeah. And he's
lawyer. So you were married. How long were you? Okay, 12 years ago you got a divorce. How many years before that did you marry him?
We were together a total of six, so we were married for 5 years and a year together. Yeah.
All right, so happy 5 years.
Very.
Yeah, very. So weird.
Very.
Very happy 5 years.
Yeah.
And had baby. He had an affair.
Had
two babies.
I had two babies.
So this was your second baby.
Yeah, right. That was when my son was born. And as we all know, he had a male son, and he's the only one who could carry on the last name of this family. He is the last person, my son is.
So weird.
And my son, it's awful because he looks like the spit out of his mouth, and everyone says it.
All right, that's very weird. So let's do this. Let's ask your deepest wisdom. All right, ready? From your deepest wisdom, the highest priority goal for today is to clear the curse.
Mm-hmm.
And from your deepest wisdom, is this being carrying more than one curse in your field? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yeah.
All right. How many curses are you carrying? Just count. Is it one? Is it two? Because we got to find them all. Okay?
About 10.
All right. Yes, no.
Is it 10 and it said yes?
All right. And from your deepest wisdom, is it more than 10? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
No.
All right, 10 curses. And from your deepest wisdom, are any of them supernatural curses? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, that's good enough for me. You're supernatural. And from your deepest wisdom, did you set any of these curses and have them boomerang back to you? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
No.
No. All right, well, good. So none of them came from you. So we don't have to worry about what caused you to set curses. We'll just clean this out. All right, now, here's the thing. This is very important to know. Curses are negative energy. They're sort of in the category of, well, not sort of, they're in this category of dark side supernatural. They're from the dark side. which means you don't want to be curious about them. You don't want to be interested. You don't want to be seduced or intrigued by the dark side because it will reel you in. So here's what. Once you clear the curse, we never look back. We don't ask any questions about it. We don't care. We just want to get the energy off of you. We don't care. We don't care where it came from. We don't care. We just need to know, really, where is it located and which technique do you want to use. So the only thing we needed to know is if you set one, and the only reason we needed to know is so that we could heal whatever caused you to set one so that you wouldn't be a danger to yourself and others in the future, okay? But since you didn't set one, once we clear this, you don't need to know. And how did I find that out? Because, God help me, I had a client come in one time who was cursed by his grandmother. She had cursed everybody in his family down through the generations. And so we cleared the curse. Where do you feel it in your body? And he pointed, and we smudged it or something, and we cleared it. And then he came back the following week, and he was cursed again. What happened? He went home, and he told his girlfriend, who fancies herself to be some kind of psychic healer. By fancies herself, I mean she dabbles, but she's not a professional. She read a few books and tried a few things, okay? But she was just, you know, she was intrigued. So this is, he said fancy. She fancies herself a psychic healer. I'm like, okay. So what did you do? Well, when I told her that my grandmother had cursed me, which is something he shouldn't have mentioned because once it's done, you don't even talk about it again, she was intrigued, and she wanted to know why my grandmother cursed me. So she took me back in time to talk with my grandmother. And I walked up to my grandmother, and I said, why did you curse us? And she cursed me again.
Oh.
All right. So I said, okay, that's it. We're taking this off, and you're not mentioning this again. It gets no energy from you, no interest, no nothing. And then I called up a colleague of mine who studied Huna, which is a Hawaiian mystical, religious sort of healing tradition, spiritual tradition. And I told him what happened. He said, you never address the curse again once it's cleared. So basically, you know, he verified my experience. So that's the rule. Once it's gone, it's gone. Therefore, before we clear it and before we find out where every one of these is in your body, we can ask a few questions. We can satisfy your curiosity. But once it's done, we never mention it again. You understand?
Yep.
All right. So one more question. From your deepest wisdom, were any of these curses set on anybody besides you? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
All right. So tune in. Who else were these curses set upon? Were any of these curses set upon your husband also? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
Were any of the curses set upon your children? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
Were any of these curses set upon any other members of your family of origin, like your parents, your siblings, your ancestors? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
All right. And were any of these curses set upon anybody else besides your husband, your children, and your ancestors? From your deepest wisdom.
No.
All right. And from your deepest wisdom, were any of these curses coming from both sides of the family? In other words, do you have curses coming down from both sides of the family? From your deepest wisdom.
Yes.
All right. Now, just for curiosity, and only because this is a teaching setting, otherwise I wouldn't be asking this, looking back through your ancestry, do you have ancestors who have disastrous relationships or strange luck? Look through your ancestry for these patterns. Anybody get divorced? Abandoned? Strange illnesses?
No. Not that I know of, no.
Hmm. All right. And did any of your ancestors set any of these curses? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes. Yeah, I tilted forward.
Oh. Hmm. Well, was it one ancestor that set a curse from your deepest wisdom? Set any of these curses?
Yes.
All right, make some guesses as to which ancestor would have set a curse. I mean, you know your family history better than we do.
Okay. You want me to say them out loud? Or?
Yeah, say them out loud and muscle test them, and then, you know, we'll write them down.
Grandmother. No. Okay, I've got one.
All right. Who is it?
Becca.
And how is she related?
Great, great aunt.
All right. All right. Is she a trained shaman?
No.
Okay. And, all right, did any of your other ancestors on either side of the family set any of these curses? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else from your mother's side of the family? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yeah, my mother's side.
Okay.
Okay. Who
else? Okay. All right. Who else?
Ola.
And how is she related?
It's a male. Uncle.
All right. And from your deepest wisdom, are there any other relatives from either side of your family who set curses upon you? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light with the help of Messiah energies.
No.
Okay. Now, did your husband set any curses upon you? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
No.
And did your husband's girlfriend set any curses upon you? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yeah.
All right. Husband's girlfriend. And from your deepest wisdom, are you carrying curses from anybody else besides Becca, Ola, and your husband's girlfriend? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light with the help of the Messiah energies.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have any ex-boyfriends set curses on you? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
Oh. Dish some dirt here, girl. Muscle test and see which ex-boyfriend or boyfriends. Well, think mostly of the ones who might have been mad at you. like the ones you dumped or something.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Steve.
All right. What's his name?
Steve.
Steve?
Steve.
All right, Steve. All right. Any other ex-boyfriends set curses on you besides we've listed? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light. All right. And from your deepest wisdom, did any of your children set any curses on you? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
No.
And did anybody else set any curses on you besides the list of people that we've listed? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light with the help of the Messiah energies.
No.
All right, then. We've got the list of standard suspects, the usual suspects here. All right, well, now we're going to clear it and never speak of it again, okay? So, from your deepest wisdom, the best technique for clearing these curses, is it the JC intervention, from your deepest wisdom?
No.
Is it white light with the angel, from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
All right, then. So where in your body, first of all, summon in your husband and children, all your ancestors. And you don't have to summon in the people who cursed you. Because as far as I know, and I don't know this for sure anymore, as far as I know, when you lift the curse off of you, it spontaneously lifts off of them.
Okay.
So we just need anybody else in your family who's contaminated by these curses.
Okay.
Just summon them all in spirit. And then let's find where the curse energy is in your body. So let's start mapping. Where are the curses in your body physically located?
In my head.
Okay, is that right? From your deepest wisdom, we command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
All right, any place else in addition that any of these curses are located? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light with the help of Messiah energies.
Stomach.
Okay, is that right? From your deepest wisdom.
Yes.
All right. In any place as an addition to the head and the stomach, we command you and all entities and parts of you to tell us the truth in the presence of God of the white light.
Hands.
Okay. Is that right from your deepest wisdom? We command the truth in the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
Okay. And any place else in addition, we command you and all entities to tell us the truth in the presence of God of the white light.
Yes, there's other places.
Okay, where else?
Chest.
Okay, is that right from your deepest wisdom? We command the truth in the presence of God of the white light. All right, now, everybody else who has curses, I want you to be piggybacking along with what we're doing. I want you to be locating the curse energies in your body because we're all going to do the technique together, okay?
Yes.
All right, so just to, while we're mapping hers, just to remind you to map yours. Okay, and from your deepest wisdom, Joanne, do you have curse energy anyplace else in addition besides what we have already listed? We command you and all entities to tell us the truth in the presence of God of the white light.
No.
All right, then. So here we go. Get ready with your finger to point. And I like to toss things out the window. I like to be looking at the window because the light's coming in. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to point at the curse energies. we're going to say the prayer, and then you're going to actually point out the window as if you're casting them out the window. Got that?
I'm sorry, I don't understand. What does it mean, point the window? I have to point my finger to the window?
Yes, you point your finger at the curse, and then
curse
you point
my body?
It. Yes, and then you point it out the window, like you're casting
okay.
it out. Yeah, like point and throw.
Okay,
all right.
I got it.
Got it. All right, so here we go, everybody. Repeat after me. I call upon the power of Jesus Christ.
I call upon the power of Jesus Christ.
Power of Jesus Christ.
Joanne, did I hear you?
Yes. I call upon the power of Jesus
power
Christ.
Right. You are bound and defeated.
You are bound and defeated.
Bound and defeated.
Leave me now.
Leave
me now.
Now.
And go to the light.
And go to
the light.
Yes, you're all pointing to the light right now, yes? All right, good.
And we just do each part, right?
Yes, although if you do one big, you know, you can do one at a time or you can do whatever. So let me see what happened with Joanne. Because sometimes they all go at once and sometimes you have to point individually. So let's find out. Joanne, from your deepest wisdom, does this being have any remaining curse energy in your field? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light with the help of the Messiah energies.
I'm getting a no.
All right, great. And from your deepest wisdom, are you or any entities or parts of you deceiving those answers? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Getting a no.
All right, then, take a drink of water, and we're going to ask how many things you learned as you released the curses. Everybody, take a drink of water. And those of you who just did this with us, check in, and if there's any remaining curse energy, do it again, point and release. You know, if there's one that you missed, point and release. All right, so Joanne, from your deepest wisdom, how many things did you learn as you lifted the curses?
I don't know what I learned, but I just feel like I can breathe better,
okay.
Easier.
Write that down. Write that down. Can breathe easier.
Less pain.
Okay.
Less of a headache right now.
Uh-huh. All right. So let's test that. From your deepest wisdom, are each of these learnings accurate and complete?
Yeah, I'm leaning forward.
Okay. So I just remembered that you asked for the white light with the angel intervention, and I used the JC intervention instead.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they both work. But you know what? Let's go ahead and use the white light with the angel because that's going to set your boundaries against evil.
Okay?
So go ahead and raise your hands up to the ceiling and put your fingertips together and pull the white light down, you know, the divine white light, pull it down from the heavens or wherever, from the universe, into your fingertips, and then make a big wide circle around your body, you know, around your personal space, your boundaries, and bring basically a sphere of white light down underneath your feet so that you're surrounded three-dimensionally in a sphere of white light, and ask your angel if there's any other curse energy or any other negative energy that's in there to just, you know, take it out. Just take it away, send it to the light. Thank you so much, angels. Does that feel done?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so good. Now you're nice and clean and boundaried. Let's ask from your deepest wisdom. Is there anything else you learned from doing the white light with the angel intervention?
No.
All right. Yeah, and white light with angel. All right, so I'm going to have everybody write down the JC prayer. Okay? Y'all have your pens ready?
Yep.
Okay. I call upon the power of Jesus Christ. You are bound, B-O-U-N-D, bound, and defeated.
Defeated.
Defeated. Leave me now. And go to the light. All right, I'm going to repeat that one more time. I call upon the power of Jesus Christ. You are bound and defeated. Leave me now and go to the light. All right, so I learned this from my Christian colleague. The Mormons also have a way of doing this. They call upon Jesus to release curses and what. So I asked my colleague, what does it mean? What does this prayer mean? Why would you call upon Jesus? And what do you mean you're bound and defeated? Who's bound and what does that mean? And, you know, what does that all mean? And, of course, being a scientist, I had to experiment. I had to experiment with other entities besides Jesus to see if they would lift curses. I went through the Jewish patriarchy, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I call upon the power of Jacob. I call upon the power of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, I tried Buddha. I call upon the power of Buddha. I call upon the power of God. I call upon the power of Shiva. You know, I don't even know the Hindu gods. I just made something up. You know, so I tried about six or seven other, you know, high energy light beings to lift these curses. And it turns out that Jesus Christ works every time, and it takes 10 seconds. You say it once, and it's done. That's it. But with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I had to say it three times. It took 3 minutes. The others, I don't know. God, I think, works instantly also. But none of the other, I might have tried Allah, none of the other names of light beings worked as effectively as Jesus. And I found that reproducibly. So I was curious. So I called up my Mormon colleagues, and I called up my Christian colleague, and I told them the data. You know, here's what I've observed. Jesus works every time in 10 seconds. The other entities, except I can't say for sure about God, but the other entities don't work as well. I mean, they work eventually, but not as well. You know, what is it about the Jesus entity that has this kind of power? So they explained to me that in the New Testament, which is the Christian New Testament, there's a story that Jesus wrestled with Satan in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and basically vanquished all evil. Jesus beat Satan, and so Satan had to go back down, I don't know where, go to hell or leave or something, along with all of its minions, Satan's minions. Jesus eliminated evil from the world, and they're really not allowed out. So then how do we find these demons and curses and what? How do we find these still, you know, sneaking around and infecting people, right? And the answer is they know they shouldn't be here. And if you catch them and point your finger at them and stick Jesus on them, they slink back to where they are supposed to be and they leave you alone. So that's how I understand it.
Actually, what they do is go to the light and get released.
Well, there you go.
That's what prayer is about. It's supposed to release them from their torment of evilness.
I think that's very nice of us, don't you?
Yeah.
Why Jesus is better at that, you know, for curses and small demons than any other beings, I don't know, except that's the mythology. Now, the interesting thing is when I first learned the prayer, I learned it as, I call upon the power of Jesus Christ, you are bound and defeated, leave me now. But what happened was, I was working with a client, and we were working with a small demon. Like, what's a demon? It's what you think. It's a small demon. It's a little dark side entity that you know, has a spark of light inside of it. It was a soul that went bad and followed Satan or something, and it infects humans and tries to mess with them. Anyway, we just released the demon by using the JC intervention. And then my secretary complained that she was feeling very cranky all of a sudden, and it turns out that the demon had leaped onto her.
Right,
so
that's what happens. I was just going to say, that's what happens. If you don't tell them to go to the light, they just can go stick on somebody else.
Yes. So that's when I decided to make sure we sent them to the light so they wouldn't be a nuisance. So isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? So I added the "and send them to the light" piece so that it wouldn't mess with anybody. And it's been a very clean intervention since then. So that's the story with Jesus. And so basically, I learned to say the Jesus Christ intervention without blinking because it works every time when they call for it. It's very cool. And so there you have it. And you know what? It works on Jewish people and non-Jewish people, and it works on Asians and what. So regardless of what religion you're raised in, consciously, again, there are these energies that are, I guess, out there in the collective unconscious that work just fine no matter who calls upon them. You don't have to qualify to call upon them. So there you have it. You know, we have access to all the light beings, regardless of which religion claims them for their own. You know what I'm saying? No religion can possess some kind of light being exclusively. Right? We all have access to all the beings. Right, Madhu?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there we have it.
Hi. Sorry, so, I was on mute. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So I would say that HBLU is basically a scientifically pan-spiritual system. We're back to whatever works. Whatever works reproducibly, and it works for everybody. Doesn't matter their culture, their religion, their what. They're human beings, and, you know, we're all the same. And they're light beings, and they're all the same, and it doesn't matter what you call them. You just have to find them and use the right technique. All right, and you all know how to do white light with the angel, which is very simple. You just pull the white light down around you with your fingertips. Oh, I have a funny story for you about that. Now, I'm here to tell you that I've worked with thousands of people over the years. I've been around for a while. And I only tell you the funny stories about the people who protest about having curses, but don't think that everybody who has one protests. I would say 99% of the people who have a curse go, "I thought so." And thank God you asked me. Thank you for asking me. Because in this culture, they were embarrassed to say that they thought they had one. So really, most everybody, when you find it by muscle testing, says, "Yes, I thought so, and thank you for asking, and, oh, we can get rid of this in 10 seconds, let's do it now." Really, I don't get much protest. And that might surprise you, but nope, I do not get protest on this. And but I had a funny story. So I had a man come in, and he was a professor of something, mathematics, philosophy, something, a professor around here. And I was thinking to myself, oh, my goodness. Of course, he showed up positive for a curse. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to have to explain to a university professor here that he's carrying a curse. Oh, my goodness. So I just went very matter-of-fact. I said, "Well, you're carrying a curse right now." And he said, "Oh, really? That's interesting." And I said, "Well, yes." And you could tell that he was humoring me. He was trying to be polite and humoring me, which is fine. So anyway, he called for white light with the angel. And we did it, and he felt hugely better, works every time, and he wrote his learnings, and that was that, you know, and he came back for other things, and we never mentioned it again. 6 months later, he calls me up. "You have to hear this," he says. "I went to a party. I was invited to a party in Hollywood with my wife. There was a very famous psychic, and they were having a party with all these movie stars and whatnot. And so we got there about a half hour late. Everybody else was at the party already. We walked in the door, and the psychic was on the other side of the living room. She turns to see who's walking in the door, and she says, "Oh, my God, I've never seen anything like this." And she's looking at him as he's coming in the door. And he says, "What?" She says, "You're surrounded by a bubble of white light." And he, of course, he knew what she was talking about. He had to call me up and tell me. So I have all kinds of verification on my interesting observations here. So this is why, after doing this for all this time, I really don't think what I do is weird. I really don't think so. And I don't have that attitude, and my clients come in and they don't have that attitude. So this is not weird. Just, you know, use the right technique and so on and so forth. All right, now I want to talk to you for a moment about South America. South America, I don't know why, but it's tremendously polluted with dark side entities and so on and so forth. And I have people who are intrigued by the dark side, which is a bad idea, go to South America, where in South America they consciously believe in the unseen forces. And so my, you know, I've had several clients go to South America and go to spiritual places where they're going to do some kind of shamanic ritual, where they're going to contact the beings of this or the beings of that. And supposedly the guides know what they're doing, and they're protecting the space. They're going to be safe and whatnot. And I tell you, these people come back and they get bizarre chest infections that won't go away, and their doctors don't understand. And it's not some strange parasite from South America. They have these inexplicable chest infections with cough and what. So when anybody says, "I've just been to South America, and now I have a chest infection," I test them for curses or demons, you know, entities. And sure enough, they have them, and we use the JC intervention and just cast them out. Cast them out. And guess what? Within a couple of days, the chest infection goes away. And I'm talking chest infections that these people have had for like weeks to months. Weeks to months. So here's what I have to say. If you're going to South America on some kind of vacation or what, don't get all intrigued with the dark side. If you're going to go visit some Mayan temple, which is an interesting archaeological site, or some spiritual burial ground for Indians or what, make sure you clean yourself off after you leave, just in case. You know what I'm saying? You leave the site and you say an angel and guide prayer. You do white light with the angel before you walk into there. You do a JC intervention as you walk out. You know what I'm saying? You just be aware, okay? My husband, daughter, and I went to Costa Rica. We went to see the Incan ruins or the Mayan ruins or something like that. Very, very impressive. I kept checking myself if I picked up anything here, and the answer was no. None of us picked up anything. Nobody got sick. I'm just saying. You know, watch out for that. Okay? So that's all I have to say about South America. All right. Everybody check in and see if anybody still has any curse energy on them, since we all did the interventions together. Check in and see if anybody has anything left. All right, y'all pretty clean? Because I'm not picking up anything. Feels pretty clean to me. All right, well, that being said then, check in and see if anybody set any of these curses and had it boomerang back to you. Check to see.
Can you repeat? Because maybe I don't understand. I am different nationality. Uh-huh. What should I ask?
Ask if you set any curses on anybody. From your deepest wisdom. I'll say it out loud. From your deepest wisdom, did you set any curses on anybody?
I guess no.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Was that Dove?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Dove, from your deepest wisdom, the highest priority goal for you for right now, is it stop setting curses?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So, Dove is an Enneagram 9, I found out earlier. And as I told you that Enneagram 9 set curses, I call it the auto-curse pattern. So, Dove, how many curses did you set? Well, actually, you cleared them right now. You're cleared of the curses that you set.
Yeah.
You cleared them.
All right.
So, I guess we just have to find out. All right, from your deepest wisdom, did this being, meaning you, set any curses consciously in this lifetime? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light?
No.
So basically your curse setting was unconscious. Is that right, from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
All right. So I call these unconscious auto-curse patterns. All right, so Dove, stop setting curses. All right, then, from your deepest wisdom, does this being give 100% permission to balance for this goal?
Yes.
And do you not, from your deepest wisdom?
No.
And from your deepest wisdom, is there any reason not to do this?
Oh, I got a yes.
Mm-hmm. And from your deepest wisdom, is the reason not to the pattern that causes you to? From your deepest wisdom, we command the truth and the presence of God of the white light?
Yes.
Well, there you go. So, from your deepest wisdom, what causes you to set curses? I'm going to make a couple educated guesses here first. From your deepest wisdom, is it a blocked access to anger pattern? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light?
Yes.
Is it a layer of the Enneagram wound? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light?
Yes.
And is it any other patterns that are causing you to set curses? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light?
No.
And from your deepest wisdom, what is the highest priority pattern to treat? Is it the blocked access to anger from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
Is it the layer of the Enneagram wound from your deepest wisdom? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light?
Yes.
Is there a preference? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light?
Yes.
All right. Which one is the preference? Would it be the blocked access to anger pattern from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
Would it be the layer of the Enneagram wound that's the preference? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light?
Yes.
Well, you get to choose then, consciously, I guess.
All right. Blocked anger.
All right.
Right.
All right. We'll do blocked access to anger then. All right, so what's a blocked access pattern? A blocked access pattern, I'm going to read to you what a blocked access pattern is, because this is really important. Blocked access. So people process emotions in different areas of their body. You're going to be happy about this, very cleansing. It's like having a septic tank for each emotion. The energy flows into the tank, circulates, detoxifies, and then drains into the drainage bed. This is why people normally cannot maintain a high level of emotional intensity for very long. Now, blocked access to emotions occur during a traumatic event, in which the person feels like he's been struck by lightning. In order to prevent that emotion from setting his wires, meaning his nervous system, on fire and burning down the house, he throws a circuit breaker to stop the electrical surge. Unfortunately, after the trauma is over, nobody goes down to the basement and flips the circuit breaker back on. It's as if a concrete block plugged up the exit pipe. The negative emotion still flows into the tank, but backs up and doesn't circulate or detoxify. This results in an accumulation of toxic negative energy. People generally use two strategies to try to relieve the pressure of overflowing emotional septic tanks. They transfer the emotional energy from the blocked emotion to one that isn't blocked and express the blocked emotion as a different emotion. For example, someone who's blocked on anger and rage but not on sadness may cry when they're actually angry. And someone who's blocked on fear but not on rage may get angry when they're actually frightened. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another way that they try, and the word here is try, to relieve the pressure of the overflowing emotional septic tanks is they project the emotion into a context totally unrelated to them personally. So, for example, in road rage, a person with blocked access to rage reacts to other drivers who are driving normally. But, you know, they're in their car and they feel that they're safe, so they can emote. So they basically, you know, rage at these people, you know, while they're driving. People may also overreact emotionally to something they see on TV that has no actual relationship to their life personally. But unfortunately, neither of these strategies processes or clears any of the blocked emotion. Dove, I'd like you to test this from your deepest wisdom. Did you curse people in an attempt to relieve the pressure of your overflowing rage tank? We command the truth in the presence of God of the white light?
Yes.
Okay. So now we have a third strategy for trying to relieve the pressure, which is cursing people. Nice, huh?
Jeez.
Well,
sorry about
from your
that.
Deepest. Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's test this. From your deepest wisdom, did that strategy actually work to process or clear any of the rage that was stored? We command the truth in the presence of God of the white light?
No.
Okay, well, there you go. The operative word here is try. Now, even worse, people often absorb other people's negative emotions and try to process them in their own tank. So, for example, you might try to absorb your mother's rage and take it on into your body to process for her. I see a lot of healers who actually do that. They're proud of it, too, which is a bad idea. Healers who say, I'm going to heal you by taking your pain into my body and processing it in my body for you. And what happens is they get sick. Oh, by the way, that reminds me. Remember when I said if you set a curse, it ricochets back to you?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore it will cause you bad luck?
Right.
I wondered if professional trained certified shamans, voodoo doctors and witch doctors, I wondered if the professional, if the professionals suffered the negative consequences of setting curses on people. Because after all, they're trained professionals, you know? So maybe they can handle this material safely, one might
mm-hmm.
think.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that no, they do not handle it safely. The Indian shamans who set curses on people end up dying young of strange causes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this because I have a colleague who spent years on an Indian reservation as a medical doctor graduate. You know, he had to do some community service to pay for his college education. And so he did it on an Indian reservation, and he saw how the Indians would pay the medicine man to set curses on people, and he saw how the medicine man died of some bizarre thing, and he heard about the history of other medicine men from that tribe who had died of bizarre and strange things. So basically, it's really important to remember that we're mortal, and mortals are not a match for the dark side. So therefore, whenever we work with dark side entities, we call in God or Jesus or, you know, light beings of great power to do the work for us. We call them in and we step out of the way. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just thought I would let you know that don't mess with the dark side. Don't be arrogant. Don't be curious. All right, so here you are. Unfortunately, you had a trauma, and you've got all this backed up rage and other negative emotions in your tanks, and it's toxic. And even so, you've brought other people's negative emotions into your body that you're choking on, and you can't process other people's emotions in your body. Even if you have a functioning tank, other people's emotions won't process in your body. I think it's kind of like tissue transplantation. You know, you get a heart transplant. It's a human heart. You're a human, but your body rejects it because it's not your heart. Well, your body's not going to process other people's negative emotions for them. And so they accumulate in the tank and they cause sludge. So you get gummed up, as we're fond of saying, ooh, sludge. So, yeah. Now, on the surface, let's look at this. On the surface, an access phobia looks like resistance or denial. For example, Dove, if I asked you, if you can think of a time when you might have said a curse on somebody, if you think back to that time and that person asked you, are you angry with me, what would you have said?
Probably not. I mean, probably
exactly.
No.
Yeah. Right. What are you talking about, you would have said.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about. So on the surface, an access phobia looks like resistance or denial. Now, a person with trauma, well, this is how I found this, actually. I had a person in my office who had just gotten divorced, and she was very shocked because she thought her relationship was perfect, and her husband told her how grateful he was to have her as his wife just about every day, about 10 to 11 times. And then one day he walked in after, I don't know, 20 years of marriage and 3 children and said he didn't want to be married anymore, just like that. And she never saw it coming. There was no reason. He wasn't having an affair. God only knows. He just... midlife crisis or something? I don't know. She was very shocked, so she came in looking very sad. By that I mean her face was, you know, her mouth was drooping down at the edges, and her eyes were drooping down. Her whole face was drooping down. That looked sad to me. And I muscle tested to ask if she had any sadness from this trauma, and she muscle tested no. And she also said verbally she wasn't sad. And I'm looking at the world's saddest face. I'm thinking to myself, okay, Something doesn't add up here. So I started to ask a bunch of questions about why I wasn't getting an answer to what I was clearly seeing. And it turns out she had a phobia to sadness, and that explained it. So why did she answer that way? Because the phobic part said, I'm afraid to go there, don't even ask me.
Mm.
Now, you know, people can have phobias to more than one emotion, not just anger, fear, sadness,
mm-hmm.
hopelessness, bitterness. People can have phobias of feeling love, you know. So you can have phobias of many different emotions, and you can have, on one particular emotion, you can have many different phobias. So, for example, the world record until about a couple months ago was 13 phobias of feeling anger and rage, but a couple weeks ago, somebody came in with 19 phobias of feeling shame. So I told her she's the winner and still champion. But anyway, you need to drain the septic tank. Otherwise, you walk around and you're a danger to yourself and others, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to clear out the septic tank is to clear the phobias that are blocking the drain. And then you drain yours and everybody else's emotions from the tank, and you clean out the sludge, and that's how you do it. And so we're going to do that live. And fortunately, when people unblock and drain theirs and other people's emotions from the tank, they spontaneously develop 100% boundaries at all levels with their own and other people's feelings of that emotion. What does that mean? What that means is when you drain your tank and it's working properly, if you feel angry, you'll express it appropriately. You won't be blurting it out. You won't be spewing it out. You won't be cursing it out. You won't be overreacting to it. You'll just be angry. Know you're angry. It'll be you feeling angry rather than you becoming angry, you know, you being the anger. It'll be you having a feeling of anger. So you won't be drowning in it. It won't be overwhelming you. You know, it'll just be you having a feeling. The other thing is that if somebody else is angry around you, you'll have 100% boundary with that. They're angry. It's their anger. You don't take it in. You don't take it personally. They're angry. You can be present with them while they're angry. You can be sympathetic with them that they're angry, but you don't take it in. You don't, you know, you don't get upset by it, whatever. Got it? Boundaries. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing?
Mm.
All right. So, Dove, from your deepest wisdom, how many phobias do you have of feeling anger and rage? Muscle test and count.
Okay. Oh, 19.
All right, now, from your deepest wisdom, are you or any entities or parts of you deceiving in that answer? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
No.
Hmm. From your deepest wisdom, is it just one phobia 19 different ways? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And from your deepest wisdom, is this being running a deception pattern that we need to treat first? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can feel it.
Yeah.
Is it a seducer strategy? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it called I'm Not Angry from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
And is there a more precise way to name that seducer strategy? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
How about I'm not upset from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
Is there a more precise way to name that strategy from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
All right. So what is it you're doing that's causing you to deceive about your anger and about how to clear it and about how many phobias you have? What's the pattern here? What's the behavior you're showing us?
Are you asking me, or are you going
to... Yes, I'm asking you to tell me, and then we'll test it. You put your words on it.
Okay, ask me the question again. My cat's jumping all over me here. Yeah, ask me again.
Okay, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Fighting it.
Okay. So from your deepest wisdom, the seducer strategy is called I'm fighting being angry from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
And does that need any additions or modifications for accuracy from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
All right. I'm fighting admitting I'm angry from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
And does that need any additions or modifications for accuracy from your deepest wisdom?
No.
All right, write that down. I'm fighting, admitting I'm angry. Now, probably of the umpteen people that we have on this call, there are other people who do this too. Right, others? I'm fighting not to admit. And I bet you fight not to admit not just anger but other feelings. Right? I'm fighting not to admit fear or shame?
Yes, yes.
Right. All right, so I'm fighting not to admit. All right. So I wonder, in your version, Dove.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's really called I'm fighting not to admit all negative emotions from your deepest wisdom.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And is there a better way to say it than that from your deepest wisdom?
No.
Okay. And because you're fighting not to admit all negative emotions, that's why you have blocked access to anger from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
All right. So I'm just going to briefly explain a seduction pattern. I go into a better explanation of that in the forgiveness seminar that we did, and you can actually... for, I don't know, $12 or so in tax, you can actually buy the CD of that and call our office or order it online. so I'm not going to spend a lot of time describing seduction. But basically, a seduction is there's a part of you that feels dead, wants to come back to life, believes that the only way you can come back to life is to get what you need from outside of yourself. So you play the role of Dracula the vampire, and you go out and you try to seduce people into giving you what you're desperate for. But the problem is, since it's a seduction and it's manipulative, it always backfires, and you get the opposite of what you're trying to get. That's in a nutshell. So this is a manipulation strategy. I'm fighting not to admit all negative emotions, and you're manipulating yourself and everybody else around you with this. So ask your deepest wisdom, what are you trying to get from everybody and yourself by doing this?
Love.
Let's count the number of things. All right, so from your deepest wisdom. Well, all right, let's go with that. Love, in order to get love. And from your deepest wisdom, in order to get anything else, we command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
All right, what else?
Respect.
Funny. Is that right from your deepest wisdom?
Yes. That's odd.
And well, of course, it's perverse, right?
Yeah, right.
And from your deepest wisdom, is there anything else you're trying to get by fighting not to admit all negative emotions from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
All right, what else?
Fear. Now, that's odd.
No, fear, you're trying to get a benefit.
Oh, okay.
You're doing this out of fear, but what are you trying to get?
Okay, what am I trying to get?
Yeah, like a reward.
Help.
Okay, is that right from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
And anything else that you're trying to get by doing this? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light?
No.
All right. Now, I can feel that there is more than one person running this, and I'm going to ask people to contribute. So those of you who know that you're fighting not to admit that you're having a negative emotion, what else are you trying to get? You know, muscle test and see if anybody else has something, because I'm getting there's two other things that somebody wants to get. Debbie, I think you can contribute here. What else would you be trying to get by fighting not to admit negative emotions?
Self-esteem.
Joy.
Joy. Okay, good.
I just got joy,
Joy, okay, good, Well, yeah. Yeah, if you didn't have to feel anything negative, then you could be in joy. I get that. And Madhu, I get that you have one. Something to contribute here.
Yeah, I get that because they're bad. There's a judgment.
Yeah, so to prove that you're good then, you fight not to admit all negative emotions in order to prove that you're good for me, deepest wisdom?
That's right.
All right, prove that I'm good. That's a good addition there. Prove that I'm good. I'm hearing one more. Somebody has another one. Maybe it's Dove. Dove, do you have another one?
Let me check.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay.
Harmony.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. So everybody, whether you have this or not, let's do the intervention together. So feel into your bodies. Where is this part of you that's fighting not to admit all negative emotions? And where do you feel the desperation to get these promised benefits of love, respect, help, joy, prove that you're good, and harmony? All right, everybody tune into where you feel it. Dove, tell us out loud, where do you feel the desperation for these benefits?
Solar plexus.
All right. Is that right from your deepest wisdom?
Hold on. Yes.
Okay. And any place else in addition from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
Where else?
Heart.
Well, that makes sense. Is that right from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
And any place else from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
I wonder if it's your entire body.
Well, I think it might be.
Check that. Is the desperation through your entire body from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
Ah, whole body. And does the desperation extend out even beyond your physical body? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
Does it extend to the ends of the universe? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
All right. The ultimate desperation. All right. Samir, are you there?
Yeah, I'm good, Judith.
Yeah, I feel that you have one more thing to add. Why would you fight not to admit negative emotions? What are you trying to get for that?
So you want me to do the clinical test for that?
Ah, success, huh? All right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, all right, good. Because that's a good addition there. Right, because if you're at work or you're interviewing for a job or you're being professional, you don't want to admit that you're having any negative emotions, even though all kinds of nonsense goes on at work. That's very upsetting. Right. All right, now with that addition, is that complete? Let me just read. No, not complete. Somebody else has something else to add. All right, Mariola, you have another one to add here. Why would you fight
peace.
Not to admit peace?
Oh, peace. That's a good one.
In my body didn't show that, but it's coming to me. It's peace.
Yes. Okay, good. Not complete. You know, this is really a very rich pattern. And as we think about it and see where it shows up in our lives, I feel that we're getting great depth here. So I feel that there are two more things that people are trying to get by fighting not to admit negative emotions. Two more things. Mariola, I think you have another contribution.
Laugh.
What would that be again?
Laugh.
Laugh.
Laugh, L-O-V-E.
Oh, love. Okay, we already have that one.
But laugh sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Let me do that. Laughter.
Laughter.
Peace and laughter.
Fine.
Yeah, laughter.
I have something else, but I'm not sure if it's correct.
Test it. Just say it and test it.
I don't know how to say it in English. Seems like I don't want to admit that I have a negative emotion because I have someone in my life.
Okay. So to maintain connection, huh?
Oh, that works. Yeah. Oh, that's
is that right, Mariola?
Yes.
Okay. Right, because you're afraid that if you showed a negative emotion that it would break the relationship, yes?
Yeah, because my relationship is break right now.
Okay, so maintain connection. Let's put maintain connection and relationship. Let's put both of those words.
Yes.
And relationship. It's good. All right, and there's one more. Go deep. Everybody go deep on this. There's one more thing that we're trying to get by not admitting negative emotions. Dove, you might have it again.
Well, humor comes to mind, but that's the same as laughter, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's something else. Dig for it, Dove, because I think you have it. Go very deep here.
Self-actualization.
Ah, okay. Test that. Is that right from your deepest wisdom?
Yes.
Lovely. Oh, my goodness, I just had an insight.
Yeah?
Well, a lot of people strive for enlightenment. You know, not only do they want to achieve self-actualization and they want to achieve their full potential, but they even want to be enlightened, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably, if you think about it, people think that if you have negative emotions and you're feeling upset about stuff, then you're not enlightened.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because enlightened people don't have reactions.
Right.
So if you want to be enlightened, you better be fighting and admitting that you have negative emotions.
Right.
To yourself. To yourself.
Right.
Even.
Right.
Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Ah. I knew there was something deep. All right. Now we're ready. Okay? I think we have it. All right, everybody. Repeat after me. I renounce this strategy.
I renounce this strategy.
I'm fighting not to admit all negative emotions.
I'm fighting not to admit all negative emotions.
In order to get love, respect, and help. Everybody, success and joy. In order to prove that I'm good. In order to get harmony, peace, and laughter. In order to preserve and maintain connection and relationship. And in order to achieve self-actualization and enlightenment.
And enlightenment.
I renounce this strategy. And I renounce these benefits. As desperate as I am. And I pray God. The divine source of light. To free me.
From everybody I do this with.
And everybody who does this with me. And I pray the divine source of light, God, to free me from this seducer strategy. Because that's all it is. And it's never going to work.
It's perverse.
It backfires.
It wastes my energy.
It sends me in the wrong direction. And now that I see it, I'm not doing this again. And I pray God to free me from this seducer strategy. Because that's all it is. And I pray God to free me from all the negative emotions. That I fought not to admit. And that backed up in my system. And drain it so completely. Mine and everybody else's. That I'm good as new. I'm so clean. It's as if it never happened. Poof.
Ah!
And I pray God
And I pray God,
the divine source of light,
to free me,
from all the damage I have ever done, to myself and others, and all the stress I've ever caused, myself and others, Well, under the influence of this pattern, and erase it so completely, it's as if I'd never done that. Poof and poof. And I pray God. The divine source of light. To provide me. With everything else I need in the benefits area. And free me of everything left. That could ever have made me vulnerable to this. Because I'm done with this. Thank you, amen. So be it. All right. Much better, huh?
Yeah.
All right, everybody, take
really
a drink
wonderful.
Of water.
was really great.
Oh, thank you. Everybody feel a whole lot cleaner now?
Yeah.
All right, everybody write learnings. Start writing. Stream of consciousness out the pen. I'm going to ask everybody to share now that we've done this big cleansing here. All right, Dove, are you done writing learnings?
Just the last word, yep.
All right. So, Dove, let's test you. From your deepest wisdom. Does this being have any remaining patterns that would permit you or enable you to set curses? We command the truth of presence. All right, so from your deepest wisdom, is this being now 100% clear at the body level of all auto-curse patterns? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
100% cleared at the unconscious level. We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
100%
wow.
cleared at the conscious level, yeah. 100% cleared at the conscious level from your deepest wisdom. We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
100% cleared at the soul level. We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
100% cleared at the etheric and all unknown levels. We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
Wow. And are you or any entities or parts of you deceiving those answers from your deepest wisdom?
No.
And from your deepest wisdom, does this being have any remaining phobias of accessing anger? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
No.
Fantastic. And from your deepest wisdom, does this being now have 100% boundaries at the body level with your own and other people's feelings of anger, rage, and outrage? We command the truth and the presence of God of the white light.
Yes.
100% boundaries at the unconscious level from your deepest wisdom.
Yes.
100% boundaries at the conscious level from your deepest wisdom.
Yes.
100% boundaries at the soul level from your deepest wisdom.
Yes.
And 100% boundaries at the etheric and unknown levels from your deepest wisdom.
Yes.
Wow.
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 I'm thrilled.
Yeah. All right. Read us your learnings.
All right. First word, love. Second word, healing. Third, love everyone. Then no more hate, no more anger, no more shame, no more grief. Love all. Embrace the world. No more fear. Clear all backup. Free me forever. Love all mankind. Heal the world.
Woo! Okay, how do you feel?
Fantastic.
Wow.
I mean, I can't believe it. I feel very excited.
Woo! Great. All right. All right, let's everybody else share learnings. All right, Samir, are you there?
Yep, Judith.
All right, what did you learn from the healing?
I was just basically writing words. You know, what were the things that he taught? So I focus more on that, like how to know the curses are there, how to clear them, how to clear negative emotions, and to know that the curses can be cleared and let them go to the light.
Very nice. And how do you feel in your body right now? How do you feel?
More like open and free. So yeah, it's sort of like I don't feel, there are like less blockages inside.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Madhu, what did you learn?
For the last few days, in fact, for a while, I've noted that, you know, I don't trust my strength and things like that. I don't trust my capacities or the support that's there for me. And a lot of people who had been giving me the support, I'd been in very kind of tenacious, in a tenacious relationship with them where things were coming, but, you know, I felt like there was too much that had to be given. I was giving away part of myself.
Oh.
And the statement I got was, I am alone and strong. And alone doesn't mean alone as in lonely.
A bad thing.
Yeah, it's a positive statement, so it's very powerful for me. Thank you.
Oh, I have goosebumps.
Me too.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, this is a really big one for me, especially like the boundaries and things like that. So I'm hoping all of that is all clear now.
Wow. All right, you can muscle test and check yourself. All right, Debbie, what did you learn from the healing?
I'm wondering if I should schedule a private session with you sometime, because I realize things are still really stuck inside of me, and I'm feeling anxiety floating around my body, especially in my abdomen area, solar plexus, heart. I don't know if it's fear of power, success, of being whole, but there's an overriding feeling of anxiety. And many years ago, I took an HBLU class from you at an energy psychology conference in Las Vegas, when Kate Sorensen was the organizer. And I came there with a friend of mine who I know has continued studying HBLU, which is a dear friend. She moved from the Southwest back to the Northeast. You might know who I'm thinking about. And I have some kind of a major block around HBLU, and my wisdom is telling me, because it's so powerful and the curses have intended to keep me from my power for so many lifetimes, I am always at war whenever I'm doing HBLU. and the war is still winning. And so, in a nutshell, that's what's going on for me.
Fantastic. So there are two things that come to my mind. One is, you probably have a war over Tangle, and that's a large dark side entity and cannot be cleared with these small prayer interventions because it has like 18 layers to it, and you have to track the layers. That's
really
one
big
thing. So, yes, it's laborious but doable, number one. And number two, the interesting thing is that it's clear to me that you're no longer fighting admitting you have negative emotions because you just admitted that you were feeling this anxiety. So that's good. And the third thing that comes to my mind is when we write learnings, they can be insights, they can be sort of technical learning, they can be feeling learning, they can be memories, but they can also be the signpost to the next piece of work because HBLU is generative.
Yeah.
So you do one piece of work, then the next one shows up. So that's a perfectly valid learning that's showing us the next piece of work is up.
Because I know I'm not done. It just feels so big, and it has for so long. So I definitely want to, I'm just so tired of it, and I really want to keep on moving forward. And HBLU, you know, I have a feeling because it's, the curse is about my not moving forward. Because HBLU can be the avenue that can help me finally heal, the curse is really huge and fights it tooth and nail, and so far the curse has won.
Yes, but you see, it's not a curse that fights. It's an overtangle, which is a different kind of entity.
Okay, whatever.
There are like 10 different kinds of entities that all have to be treated with their own protocols.
So it's an entity.
It's an entity.
That's what it feels like. It's a big entity,
Yes, it's like a big thrashing octopus that's actively fighting you.
It has for a long time.
Yes, it has. That kind of entity has ascensions to it.
Yeah.
Curses are energies, but they're not entities. They don't have little sparks of light in them. They're just clumps of messy energy. But yes, you have an entity, which is an actual being with ascensions. All right. Well, I just tested you, and yes, you have one. So I'll tell you what, right after we stop recording, you can stay on the line and we'll arrange something.
Oh, great.
And get that taken care of.
Thank you.
All right. Joanne, what did you learn from the healing?
First things I wrote down, I wrote beach, ocean, sand, waves, crashing, freedom, flying, positive energy charge, happy.
Fabulous. And how do you feel?
I feel good.
Okay.
Not fabulous. I think I could feel better.
All right. Well, you got some good learnings there.
Yeah.
All right, Mariola, what did you learn from the healing?
I have a two cents. This is what I learned, that it's very easy to go to God and trust God that he can change for us everything.
Yes.
And then I feel new, fresh, and light, and I feel that I am light. Like a white light, and I can move forward.
Lovely. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right, Ellen.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, my dear. Ellen, what did you learn from doing the healing today with us?
Well, I thought it was really a great thing to be a part of. I really enjoyed it, and I have to say that I feel wonderful, and that wasn't even an issue for me. What occurred to me was that very often what appears to be destructive behavior on the part of other people is just this longing to be free of the need to exhibit that behavior. And people can see that intellectually, I think. They can recognize that their behavior is self-destructive or self-sabotaging. Mm-hmm. But there is something transcendent about the way the dynamic worked today to, I think, make a considerable difference in a number of people's feelings about how they felt about themselves. And that's mystery. I don't know how that's done, but it felt as if there were real progress. So I was glad to be a part of this.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you very much. I would say that insight that you just shared is absolutely, you know, core. Because it's true that as I perceive it, people communicate in different ways. And their unconscious mind communicates through behavior and words, and their bodies communicate through behavior and words and actions. And so I always take the position that when that I'm getting information from everything that the person says and does, and it's all information. So, for example, I did a live group healing last weekend, and we muscle tested the whole group, and one woman was selected by the deepest wisdom of the group to be the demo subject, and she came up and she said, "Oh, my pulse is racing, and I'm blushing, and my blood pressure is going sky high." So we muscle tested her and asked if the goal was to, you know, clear the blood pressure problem, and it was yes. And then she said, she starts hyperventilating, and she says, "I can't do this. I'm going to sit down." And I said, "Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Come here. I'll stop talking, and I'll just treat you." And I said, "Start tapping on yourself." And she started tapping on herself. And I said, "We're just going to track the feelings that are trying to express themselves and don't want to talk about it and don't want to discuss it and don't want to map it. They just want to discharge. And I'm sorry that I spent two minutes more than I needed to even talking to you. Turn around, we're treating you." And we went right into treating her, and we did like 8 rounds of treatment. Each time, okay, the first time the rapid heartbeat stopped, but then the face was burning. The second time we tapped on the face burning, that cleared. Then she had a pulse behind her ears, that cleared. Then she was nauseous in her stomach, that cleared. And, you know, finally she had a little stiffness in her neck, that cleared. You know, we did 6 to 8 rounds of tapping, and when she was done, she felt really calm. And then the learning, she wrote learnings that were unbelievable. I have no idea what she discharged, but it was ready to go, and it didn't want to talk. It just wanted to release. And in the end, she was holding her heart, actually. Remember, the goal had originally been blood pressure. "I love myself. I feel wonderful. I'm a good person." And, you know, she wrote probably 10 learnings. It just kept pouring out of her. And basically, you know, I just realized that her behavior was telling me she was ready to treat that. So people do demonstrate by their behavior that they need healing. They demonstrate that. And I truly believe that the deepest wisdom, you know, encourages them to demonstrate this behavior as, not to be too cliche, but, you know, as a cry of help. And that these parts are doing this because they're looking for somebody who will finally recognize what they're seeing and have the help they need. And, you know, fortunately, that part recognized that we had the help she needed, and it just basically pushed itself up into her body and said, "Do me now!" And we did. We just treated her. I don't know what she cleared, but she was feeling hugely better, and her learnings were great. So, yes, remember that in terms of boundaries, when people behave in certain ways, there's a pattern running. They have a reason for doing it that makes sense to some part of them. And it may be distorted or damaged or hurt or what, but if they're doing it, it needs healing. And maybe you can help them in that moment, maybe you can't. But really, that's a wonderful position to take, Ellen. That is a wonderful position, a wonderful perspective to take. I just have one more example. Last week, I said to my husband, "What is our daughter doing this weekend?" Because I knew she had some kind of activity, but I didn't know what and when. And I said, "So what is she doing this weekend? Is she doing debate as opposed to swimming, right? A swim meet or debate practice or debate tournament?" I said, "Is she doing debate?" He says, "No." "Well, what is she doing this weekend? I thought swimming was over." "It is over." "Well, so what is she doing this weekend? Is she busy this weekend?" "Yes." "She has an activity this weekend, is that right?" "Yes." "Well, what is it?" Then he says, "Debate." I said, "But I asked you if she had debate this weekend, and you said no." So he looks at the ceiling. He says, well, I wasn't sure whether it was speech and debate or just debate or what. I go, yeah, but it's not swimming, right? He's like, right. I said, you know what? You're being argumentative. He said, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. But she's arguing with me. And, Dove, you'll appreciate this. He's a 9. Okay. So I looked at him and I said, honey, I think that you've been argumentative. I've been noticing this for the last 3 months. And ever since your company started laying off people, you've been coming home argumentative. And I think you're traumatized by this and not admitting it. Because you know that when people are traumatized by something and they haven't cleared it, they often act angry and cranky and snappish. And I think this is your way of showing that you're traumatized and, you know, you just didn't recognize it consciously. And he said, well, you might be right. I said, well, let's test that. So sure enough, you know, he was feeling anxious and stressed out because of all the layoffs. I said to him, now look, even though you haven't been laid off yet, and they tell you that other people in your department won't be laid off after the first round, you cannot believe that. You know what business is like. You can't trust them to really mean that. And also, you're losing friends who you care about. And you're a sensitive man, and you're feeling the anxiety in the air. And, you know, it's stressing you out. So I recommend that you tap on yourself every single time you hear the word layoff. I don't care if you hear it 10 times a day and you have to tap on yourself 10 times a day, but really treat yourself and remain stable in that environment because it's very stressful for you right now. And he said, well, that's a good idea. Thank you very much, honey. And basically, he hasn't been cranky or argumentative since. You know, and it's been a week. And he still comes home and gives me the daily layoff news. Well, they're not having layoffs this week, and they're not going to have them next week. But, you know, every week he comes and gives me the layoff news. Mm-hmm. So, again, people behave in certain ways. You need to recognize that there's more going on than just surface. And if you can come in with love and you can connect through the heart and connect with their deepest wisdom and know that, you know, there's something going on for them. Now, you may or may not be able to help them, you understand? And you don't have to. You don't have to help everybody who comes by you. And you don't have to be responsible for that. And you don't have to feel bad if you don't know how to help them, you know? Because you have to understand that their deepest wisdom isn't looking personally for you to help them. Their deepest wisdom is just looking for help and asking every place it can find it. And if they happen to run into you, standing next to the koi pool in Hawaii while they're feeding the fish, and they just happen
that
to mention
really
something.
Good point, yeah.
Okay? Then you do what you can with what you know. On that inspirational note, thank you, Helen. Thank you, Ellen. You got me going. On that inspirational note, I wish you well to use this healing everywhere you can think of.
Thank you so much. That was great.
I'm stopping the recording. Okay.